2012, 16th of December, Andrew, surrendering to God's purposes.
Let's turn to Romans, the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12. I want to speak on surrendering to God's purposes.
Amen.
Surrendering to God's purposes. I suppose you could just simply call it surrendering to God.
Yeah.
And when you surrender to God and to His purposes, you will arrive at the destination that God has ordained for you.
Amen?
Amen?
Yeah.
There may be challenges along the way. That's not a maybe. There will be challenges along the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
The being a disciple is not an easy road.
Yeah.
It means to fight. It means to press in.
Yeah.
It means to be formed in the image of Christ.
Amen.
And when some forming starts going on, there's usually some straightening out and some shaping and some pressure that has to go on in our lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
And many people don't like that. The moment they get a little bit of pressure, the moment they get a bit of stress, we're going to bail out.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, have you got a parachute that I might jump? The answer is no. Because when you jump, it's a long way down.
Yeah.
And it only ends up in the bottomless pit.
Yeah.
So for you and I, it's about surrendering to God's purposes. And as we surrender to His purposes, we shall see His plans coming to pass in our own lives.
Yeah.
And as we're coming up to the end of this year, we need to look at this.
Yeah.
And realize that as we begin to close out this year, and we begin to open into a new year, that we need to make sure that we're surrendering to God's purposes, that His plans for you and for me will be fulfilled.
Amen.
And that the direction and the destiny that He's taking us on, the journey that He is taking us on, will be fulfilled in our lives. And that we will be willing participators in the journey that God is taking us on. The worst thing you want is somebody who doesn't want to go on the journey with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you drag them kicking and screaming,
yeah.
And
yeah.
Have we arrived yet? You know, when are we going to get there? Well, it's a journey.
Yeah.
And one of the great things about journeys that you need to learn so often is to enjoy the journey. Most people want to arrive at the destination and then we're going to enjoy ourselves. Let's get to the destination, then we'll enjoy ourselves. Well, God's idea is enjoy the journey.
Amen.
Enjoy the journey. Because on the journey there are experiences, there are things to see on the journey. There are things to learn on the journey. There are experiences to taste and see on the journey. But if you're just focusing on getting to some place, you will miss things along the way.
Yeah,
and there are some good things, there are some good treasures along the way.
Thank you, Jesus.
For instance, when you arrive in Istanbul, you arrive at this big airport, and most airports you just want to say, oh, just get me through and get me out. But when you arrive in Istanbul, you arrive in Turkey. And if, like myself and Bill, you have a sweet tooth, or maybe it's sweet teeth.
Yeah.
That might be a better rendering, I think, really. You have to visit the cake store. Oh, Bill, you would have enjoyed the journey. Man, you would have enjoyed the journey. I remember when we went to Turkey all those years ago, and those cakes, those sweet cakes dripping in honey and syrup, and I mean, they were Moorish. You know, you had one and you thought, maybe I should have another one. You know, I am sure I should have another one. They called your name even. So you take these things and you enjoy the journey. There are things along the way where God says, oh, taste and see.
Yeah.
So we did.
Yeah.
And they were just as good as they were 30 odd years ago. They tasted wonderful. On the first part of the journey, when we were going through Istanbul, we decided we'd have an ice cream. Oh, Lord. Oh, that was a lovely ice cream. It was better than ones we get over here in these these cornettos. It was a cornetto, but it was one that we don't get over here. And it was gorgeous. I mean, we just sat there and nobody said a word for ages. Just, you know, every lick was a delight. This is part of the journey. This was part of the trip. This was part of all that God was doing. And so you enjoyed the journey. Yes, there were challenges.
Yeah.
Like I told you last week when we were coming back, there were challenges even coming back. But on the part of the journey, God upgraded us into business class. Enjoy the journey, you see. Enjoy the challenge of these things. But you see, in all these things, we surrender to the purpose of God.
Yeah.
When you surrender to the purpose of God, sometimes the journey can be difficult.
Yeah.
Parts of the journey will be difficult.
Definitely.
We had some difficulties along the way. But we stayed focused because we had a destination.
Yeah.
But you see, you have to enjoy it all. You have to take it all in because on the journey is part of the preparation for your arrival.
Yeah.
And so you have to prepare through the journey and you have to enjoy the journey.
Yeah.
It's like Jesus when he was in the boat, he said to his disciples, "Come, let us go to the other side."
Yeah.
He laid down and he was enjoying the journey. The disciples weren't enjoying the journey. You know, they're bailing out. They're screaming and shouting, "We're going to sink, we're going to sink, we're going to die even." You know, Thomas probably said, "We're not just going to sink, we're going to die, we're going to die. Wake him up." And shook him and woke him and he's, "Oh, ye of little faith." You know, "Jesus, don't you know we're going to die?" Jesus is like, "We're not going to die." I said, "We're going to the other side." There was a destination.
Yeah.
And as you know the story, he stood there and said, "Peace, be still."
Amen.
True words for each and every one of us.
Amen.
Along this journey that we travel, sometimes we need to say to ourselves,
peace,
the very word that Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace, be still."
Amen.
Know that I'm with you. As you travel along this journey.
Yeah.
He said, "I'll never leave you. I will never ever forsake you."
Amen.
So, praise his wonderful name. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. "I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice.
Amen.
Acceptable to God,
yeah,
which is your spiritual service,
yeah,
of worship."
Amen.
Coming to the end of this year, as I said, where has it gone? It seems to have dashed by.
Is that a sign of age?
It's not a sign of age, it's a sign of enjoying the life. It's enjoying the journey. When you're enjoying a journey, it goes quicker.
Yes,
have you noticed that?
Yeah.
And when you're not enjoying the journey, it's like, when's this going to end?
Yeah.
It seems like it is never ending. And you get stressed by it, fed up by it. But when you're enjoying the journey, you arrive at your destination, you think, "Wow, what a trip. You know, that was quick." So many people today are not enjoying the journey. A lot of Christians are not enjoying the journey. A lot of Christians are not sticking out the journey.
No.
They're getting off early.
Yeah, easy.
It's too easy.
Easy, yeah.
Thinking they've seen a signpost that says shortcuts. Shortcuts to victory. There isn't one. Shortcut Yeah, you might get cut as you travel that journey. Jesus said it, he's prepared a way for you and I to walk. So many people are trying to get off the road that Jesus has prepared. So we have to travel the journey. We have to travel the direction that God has ordained for us. You can't take shortcuts. There are no shortcuts to victory in Jesus. Yeah, you fall by the wayside. That's so true. You read Pilgrim's Progress. Bypass Meadow. What a, you know. Spirit of Slough of Despond. Bog of Unbelief. All these places are classed as the shortcuts that you end up being falling into. Because we're not in His plan and His purpose. We're not in the will of God. We've diverted ourselves off the path.
Yeah.
And we end up in a bog of despair.
Yeah.
And then we say, God, why have you brought me here? He didn't. He didn't. He put you on the way. This is the way, walk ye in it.
Yeah.
You thought, I know a shortcut. Yeah, that's right. God's way is the highway of holiness. She's preaching a message now, you see. Here we go. This is what happens. It's the highway of holiness. The first thing we need to do is we present our bodies. The physical action that we do, we present our bodies as a sacrifice unto God. It has to be holy. And as we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, there's the key. In the Old Testament, sacrifice was killed. It was dead. I'm still alive, aren't I?
Amen.
Eh? I'm still alive, you know. Touch me, handle me, feel me. Still alive. But I'm a living sacrifice. That's what the Word tells us to be, that we are not to be a dead sacrifice. The Christian life, yeah, we die to the things of this world.
Yeah.
But we're alive to God.
Amen.
In fact, we're more alive today than before we got saved. Because the Bible says you were dead in your trespasses and sins.
I was.
So you were already dead.
Yeah, I was.
You know, you thought you were alive. You know, you're going out partying, having a great time, and you thought you're alive. And yet God says you're dead.
Yeah.
You're dead in your trespasses. You're dead in your sins.
Yeah.
You tell that to the people in the world today that are going to be going out for the Christmas parties. They're going to get so drunk they can't remember what happened. And they had a great time. How do you know? You can't even remember what happened. Well, I've got this enormous hangover, so I must have had a great time. Ooh, great. If that's having a great time, I don't need one of those times. If you get a headache, is that a great time?
No.
If you get a migraine, is that a great time?
No.
Because if it is, don't take the tablets to take it away.
That's right. Enjoy the pain.
It's true, isn't it?
It is true, yeah.
None of us say, oh, give me a headache, Lord. Do we?
No.
Oh, God, give me a headache. There's no way. The first thing you get a headache coming on, you start popping pills. You don't want the pain. And yet the world says, I had a great time. I woke up with, oh, what a headache I had. You know, I must have had a great time. How can that be? Blinded by sin.
Yeah.
Blinded by their own foolishness. Lost. Their lives are totally out of control.
Yeah.
And they're only sacrificing themselves to the devil. And they're not a living sacrifice anymore.
No.
Because the Bible says they're dead in their trespasses and sins. Yeah. They're under the old covenant, they're under the law.
Yeah.
And God says, that's not what I intended for you. A living sacrifice. Christ died for you and for me that we might live.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm alive because of Christ. For all you and I know, if we'd have carried on the direction that the world would have taken us, we could have been dead by now.
Yeah.
I know one person in this church that could have been dead by... Well, two people in this church that could have been dead now, buried 6 foot underground.
Yeah.
But God has other ideas.
Amen.
Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Right? That's what the word says. And there are people in this very building today that are witnesses and testimony to the very life of Christ changing them.
Yeah.
To the very life of Christ that has kept him alive.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm alive because of Jesus.
Yeah.
Praise his wonderful name.
Yeah.
There's been 3 attempts to kill me. I'm still alive.
Amen.
Glory to God. And as long as we stay close to Christ, that resurrection life will flow within in each and every one of us.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah. Amen?
Because he said, I've come to give you life.
Yeah.
You see, the world thought it had life and still thinks it's got life. How mistaken can you be? Oh, it must be boring being a Christian. Well, it probably is maybe boring being a Christian, but being a disciple of the Lord Jesus is really exciting. Yeah, I mean, when you start seeing people healed, when you start asking God and he asking God for things and he meets that very need and you see things happen that are opposite to what science says, that are opposite to what is going in the world, and that God just turns up on the scene. Life and being a disciple of the Lord Jesus is exciting.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh yeah, there are a few troubles along the way, but that's okay. You know, that's what warriors face. That's what conquerors face. They face trouble.
Yeah.
And tell it, get out the way.
Amen.
Get out the way.
Amen.
Because we are coming through.
Amen. We are.
We are coming through. And we are going to be victorious.
Amen.
How do I know that? Because I read the end of the book and it says so. We are the conquerors. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. He's already done the conquering. We're just pushing through into the victory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thirdly, so we're to be a physical sacrifice. Secondly, we're a living sacrifice. Thirdly, we have to be a holy sacrifice.
Yeah.
In the Old Testament, nothing that was brought for a sacrifice was unclean.
No.
It had to be perfect. It had to be spotless. It had to be the very best of the flock. When they brought a lamb, they didn't bring the runt. They didn't bring the weakest. They didn't bring the one with spots and blemishes on it. They brought the perfect one, the strongest amongst the lambs, the one that was spotless and perfect. That was the sacrifice.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you bring the weakest, the runt, and that's not worth much, it's not a sacrifice.
No.
It's not a sacrifice. Yeah. It's a token.
Yes.
A token. There are a lot of Christians these days who are token believers.
Yeah.
Token believers.
Okay.
When the token runs out, you don't see them.
Yeah.
But you see, when you bring the best that's holy, you bring the best for God, you bring in the very best, everything you've got. This is not a part-time activity.
No.
This is you being meticulous. This is that you are seeing God in a different light to anybody else.
Amen.
that you are seeing God as the author and finisher of your faith. You are seeing God as the one who has your destiny and the purpose for your life. And so you bring Him the best.
Yes. Yes.
You bring Him that which is the most holiest that you have for a sacrifice. It's that holy sacrifice has been set apart for God. Belongs to nobody else but God, and you've set it apart for God. This is a pattern of heaven itself.
Yeah.
The very best.
Yeah.
When God wanted to redeem you and I back to Himself, He sent the very best.
Yeah.
He didn't send just one of His angels and said, oh, we could, that'll do. But He took the very best that He had. Cost Him absolutely the biggest price that He could ever pay, and that was His own Son, Jesus. Because He was a holy sacrifice.
Amen.
He was a pure, spotless lamb.
Amen.
And so God sent Jesus to be that holy sacrifice for you and for me. And so this is a picture of what God is doing, or what God has done in the heavenly realm. And so in Romans here, he's just repeating, and Paul is saying this is what we should do. This is the way it should be done. Because we are following the pattern of heaven.
Yeah.
We're following the style of heaven. You know, when God gave Moses the tabernacle, the design and everything, it was a pattern of the worship that was going on in heaven itself.
Yeah.
Isaiah chapter 6. I love this part of this chapter. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne,
Amen.
Lofty and exalted.
Praise God. Amen.
Lofty and exalted.
Amen.
With the train of His robe filling the temple. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's not enough room in the temple for God.
No.
But the presence of His robe is in the temple. His robe fills the temple.
Nothing,
as you say, can contain God.
No. Oh,
how big is your God? You see, the universe is still expanding.
Yeah.
Scientists tell us now. Do you know why? Because it still can't contain God.
No.
God's still at work.
Amen.
Can't contain Him. There isn't anything that can contain God.
Amen.
Verse 2, the seraphim stood above Him, having six wings. With two He covered His face, with two He covered His feet, and with two He flew.
Amen.
And one called out to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Hallelujah. The whole earth is full of His glory.
Praise God.
You are from the earth.
Amen. Yeah.
Are you full of His glory?
I am.
You're from the earth.
Yeah.
Adam was earth.
Yeah.
Are we full of His glory?
Wow.
That's what God wants for each and every one of us. To be filled with His glory.
Amen.
But you see, it's in this sacrifice to God. That it's in the sacrifice that then the glory comes.
Yeah.
So many people are looking for glory but don't prepare to pay the price.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, we want the glory of God. We just want it delivered with UPS. Next day service.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is sign on the line and say you've received it. Well, I hate to tell you, that's no sacrifice.
No, it's not.
It's not going to come by UPS.
No.
It's not going to come by Royal Mail.
No.
But it's going to come by your living sacrifice unto God.
Yeah.
But you and I getting on the altar of God.
Amen.
And letting God begin that process of killing the old self.
Yeah.
And bringing life to that new man and keep that life of that new man going.
Amen.
But it's in a holiness. Verse 4. And the foundations of the threshold trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filled with smoke. When I read this today, I suddenly realized what all these new churches are doing with this big PA system. They are trying to make the threshold tremble. They are trying to mimic Isaiah chapter 6. They're trying to cause the building to shake so that people will think, oh, the presence of God is here. Because that's what happens in heaven. And get these smoke machines going and they'll think God's around because of all this smoke. Because that's what happened in Isaiah. He was seeing heaven. Is that what it really means?
No.
Loud music and smoke machines? No. The very presence of God would shake the place. Verse 5, he says, then I said, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King. Take note, that's a big capital K. The King.
Amen.
The Lord of hosts. He'd seen the King. He'd seen the Lord of hosts. This is when Isaiah is being called by God for service. To present himself as a living sacrifice. Surrendered to God's purpose. For his life and for the life of the nation. Verse 6 says, and then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. And verse 7, and he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven.
Amen.
When you and I present ourselves as a holy, living sacrifice before God, then he will touch our lips. And our sin will be taken away.
Amen.
Our iniquity and sin will be taken away, and we shall be forgiven. The worship of heaven. Verse 3. Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds trembled.
Yeah.
That's worship.
Amen.
That's worship when God
is
moved by your worship and my worship, then the foundations will tremble. The glory of God will appear.
Yeah.
Romans says, I think it's in the King James, it says, this is your reasonable service. This is nothing special.
No.
This is nothing that is abnormal. It's just acceptable to God. One version of the Greek says it's not just reasonable, but logical. It's your logical service. What it really means is, it means that the Logos life is what we have to bring. The Logos life. The Word of God. Logos means the Word. This Word brings life.
Amen.
And so the life of this Word, that's what it means to be in Christ. Because when we're in Christ, the life of the Word is in you.
Amen.
And the life of the Word is giving you life. It's changing you. It's forming you.
Yeah.
And when you sacrifice your own life to Christ,
yeah,
God gives you His life.
Yeah. Amen.
There's no death in His life.
Amen.
He gives you His life. Eternal life. You see, the life that we have before we met Christ has an ending. Has a date on it. But when you accept Christ as Lord and Saviour, we're born again of the Spirit of God. And the Word of God tells us we shall live forever. This frame may depart. This frame may fall apart. But He has prepared for us an eternal body. And Jesus is already using it.
Amen. Yeah.
It's a fantastic body. He can come through walls.
Yeah.
Locked doors.
Yeah.
He can still eat as well and enjoy food. So that's it's a joy and a pleasure that we shall still have.
Yeah.
Glory to God. He said, give me something to eat. Glory. Yeah. Nothing can stand in the way of this new creature.
Amen.
This new creation that God has created. God did not create us to be trapped.
No.
He created us to have life and have
Amen.
It more abundantly.
Amen.
He created Adam and Eve to rule on the earth, to have dominion, to have authority. Not to be restricted. When they fell into sin, into disobedience and rebellion, then sin took its hold.
Yeah.
Instead of offering themselves as a living sacrifice to God, they offered themselves unto their own worship,
yeah,
their own destiny.
Yeah.
Turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 4, and verse 24. Read verse 23. And this is Jesus speaking. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be His worshippers. That's an interesting point there. The Father is seeking true worshippers.
Amen.
God's looking for you. God is looking for you. He's looking for every true worshipper.
Amen.
The moment that we start to worship Him in spirit and in truth, we're being drawn to God.
Yeah.
Verse 24 says, God is spirit. And those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
See, God's not a physical being.
No.
Bringing a physical lamb under the old covenant was not reaching God. That was only covering sin. Today, when we come to God and we bring our spiritual offering of worship to God, our praise and our worship as a spiritual offering, then we're beginning to reach God. Then we're beginning to touch God, because God is spirit.
Amen.
And so the purpose of our life, the purpose of my life, should be that we surrender to God and worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
And as we do that, we shall see signs, wonders and miracles. We shall see the glory of God in our lives. We shall see the presence of God moving through our lives. We shall see the power of God moving through our lives. It is so important that we realize that God wants you and I to move forward in His power. You know, when Grace read from Matthew chapter 6 and said to Bill, we don't seem to be able to be getting too far away from Matthew chapter 6. There's so much in here. Basically, Matthew chapter 6, one of the major things that it starts with is the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
Our Father. My Father.
Amen.
Who art in heaven.
Yeah.
Hallowed worship.
Yeah.
Jesus is starting off. The disciples says, Lord, teach us how to pray. They'd grown up in the synagogue. They had been taught how to pray. Every Jewish boy knows how to pray.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
They know how to pray. That's one of the first things that they are taught. They're taught the word and how to pray. But they had seen something different in Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, he'd been brought up as a good Jewish boy. He'd been brought up in the synagogue. He knew the Old Testament. He was the Old Testament. He was there when it was being written.
Amen.
He was there when the actions were going on.
Yeah.
He was there, Sodom and Gomorrah. He knew it. But when they saw him praying, he wasn't praying like a good Jewish boy.
No.
Begging and pleading for God.
No, we don't need to.
He was praying out of a holy relationship.
Amen.
My Father, who art in heaven,
Amen.
Hallowed be your glorious name. This is not how they were taught to pray. Thy kingdom, O God, come.
Amen.
Thy will be done in earth, in my life, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also forgive. A lot of Christians miss that out. We want God's forgiveness, but we're not prepared to forgive somebody else. Wrong?
Wrong.
Surrender. Surrender to the purpose of God. Purpose of God is that you forgive. I forgive. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory. Forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
All of it is focused on God.
Yeah.
All of it is focused on God, basically. When we focus on God,
yeah.
Don't let our eyes be distracted by other things around us. Focus on Him.
Yeah.
When we're focused on Him, you'll see things happen.
Yeah, true.
You'll not see the problems of the world. You see, the world is in a dire strait at the moment. You've just all heard recently in the last few days on the news. What was it, 26 children under the age of 7 shot dead. six adults, or seven adults, killed with them in America. America was a godly nation. We don't need God anymore. We've kicked him out of schools. We're not going to force people to follow God. No. And so we pull away from God. We don't want God. We don't need God to tell us what we need to do. We do. Because when you leave somebody without the Word of God as their guiding light, they will bring destruction. They will bring death. They will steal, they will kill, they will cheat. Because they have the nature of their father in them, which is the devil.
Yeah.
And Jesus said he's come to steal, kill and destroy.
Yeah.
That's just what's gone on in these last few days. A massacre of children who done nothing. Why? Because we don't allow God in our lives. We don't need God anymore. We need him more now than we ever did before. We need him more now than we ever did before. And the church has gone that way where the church has even put God out. We can manage without God. We've got our songs. We've got our program. Where is God? Where is God? Grace read verse 25. For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for life, as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body, as to what you shall put on it. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? It certainly is. And when you get God in your life, God is interested in every area of your life. And it's about putting him first. But it's about surrendering to his purpose. It's about surrendering to his plans. And his plan is that you come into a personal relationship with him. His plan is that you know him as your Lord. His plan is that you know him personally. And that when the enemy comes against you, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against him. Because the kingdom of God needs to come in our lives. But it only comes when we know the King of the kingdom. Seems like we spent a long time over this last 12 months. We keep coming back to this passage of Scripture since the beginning of January. Seek ye first the King of the kingdom and all and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. But you know, when we find the King, the first thing that we do is we bow the knee and we surrender to him. That's the first thing that we will do when we find the King. We will bow the knee and surrender everything to him.
Amen.
As a living sacrifice.
Amen.
Unto the Lord and Saviour.
Yeah.
That's true worship.
Yeah.
That's true worship.
Praise God.
It's not what we see today.
No.
But true worship is as we surrender to him. Give him everything.
Yeah.
And see our lives changed.
Amen.
See our destiny sealed. And see God take us on this journey.
Yeah.
And along the journey, it will be an exciting journey.
It
will. You won't be bored with the journey.
No way.
When God is traveling with you, when Jesus is with you, the journey will not be boring.
No.
The journey will not be, oh, how long's this going to take? How much longer? It will not be like that. The journey will be exciting. The journey will be fulfilling. Today God wants to see his people fulfilled. He wants to see his people full of him.
Amen.
Full of him. fulfilled in him. Today, surrender to the purpose of God. Read Romans 12. Spend some time and ask God to just open more to you. We don't have time today. And realize that God wants to move in your life to a greater depth than he's ever done before.
Amen.
But you and I have to offer our lives to him. And as we do that, he will move. And he will change things around you. And I believe that this coming year, God is going to do some good, mighty things.
Amen. I agree.
We will have to make some changes.
Yeah.
Presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice.
Yeah.
And as we do that, you see, you don't come first.
Yeah.
Hate to tell you that. That's the world system. Me first and everybody else after. You don't come first. He comes first.
Amen.
And everything he asks for is first.
Yeah.
And we present our bodies as a living sacrifice unto God. And when we do that, we shall see the power of God working in our lives. As you know, some of you know that Jackie Millward was buried on Wednesday. Yes, Wednesday. And afterwards, we stayed behind and we were talking with people. It was my joy and privilege to share some of the life of Jackie. And there was a lady there that spoke to me afterwards and said, "Do you remember me?" And her face was vaguely familiar. I said, "Well, I do, but I don't." She said, "I was at Jackie Millward's and you came in one afternoon." And she said, "I'd been on some drugs and my hands were totally clenched and I couldn't open my hands." And she said, "You came in and we told you about it." And she said, "You just grabbed hold of my hands and you prayed."
Amen.
And as you prayed, she said, "My hands just opened up."
Praise God.
And she said, "I've always, ever since then, I've been able to move them." That's over 30 years ago. My God still heals.
Amen.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. But we have to. And I said to that lady, I said, "I'd love to have your testimony, to write it down, maybe even video it, and then Bill can put it on the website." You see, when you've got things like that, you can't argue with those things. This is the truth. The world needs to hear the truth. But it only comes as you and I present ourselves as the living sacrifice.
Amen.
Surrendering all to God.
Amen.
And saying, "Lord, not my will,
but
your will be done."
Amen.
See, God wants you to have his perfect will for your life.
Amen.
Not your permissible will, or God's permissible will, that you just go down a path somewhere. God wants you to have his perfect will. Because in that perfect will, everything will be fine.
Yeah.
God will be with you. He'll never leave you. He will never forsake you. And so I just want to encourage you as we start to close this year, and as we start to open up into a new year, that we start it with a living sacrifice. That we offer ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. We surrender to him and say, "God, I'm not listening to anybody else. I'm not listening to the other voices. I'm not listening to the voices that would seek to draw me away from you. But I'm listening only to you. And I want to be that living sacrifice." Abraham brought his son a living sacrifice.
Yeah.
God made a way. God provided
he
in that sacrifice.
He
what am I saying? when we present ourselves as a living sacrifice, we do not lose out.
No.
We do not lose out. We always gain.
Amen.
God will multiply back to you.
Yes, he will.
As you sacrifice unto him.
He
will never ever forsake you. In Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. Hallelujah.
I was quite surprised to see a couple of trailers on the television, and there was all sorts of snapshots from all different people and different areas of life. And at the end of it, it said, "This is Christmas." And I thought, have I missed something here? And I said to Andrew, there was no mention of Jesus. God's nothing to do with Christmas anymore, obviously, in their eyes. And then on another occasion, they were advertising something that J.K. Rowling's done with one of these gadget machines, and it's about spells and wizards and all this, and children can have this as a game. I was horrified. I thought, where is our nation going? And that's why I really feel God is saying to his church, come on, it's time to stand up. It's time to have that compassion. We're not here to judge them. I feel full of compassion that they're going to a lost eternity, that they're living far short of what God wants for them. God has greater things for this nation. This nation was great, and she needs to be great again, but we've got to have God in the centre. And it's time for God's people to stop sleeping, to wake up and become that living sacrifice. And let's give God everything that we've got and stand and be counted. And so, with that in mind, next Sunday is carol service. We'll start at the normal time. And I think it would be really good if we brought something, each of us bring something about what Christmas means to you. It means Jesus Christ to me. It means everything that he is. And if you've got any little poems or any little snippets that you want to share, but bring something about what Christmas really means, and just be free to share your heart. Let's have a good family Christmas service from the heart of what Christmas means, really means, to all of us. Amen.